Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, we thank you for your goodness, we thank you for your mercy, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and to praise and worship you. Father, I know many of us that have come here this morning have different things that have occurred this week, heaviness that we're hanging on to. Lord, I ask that we just place that at the feet of the cross, that we make you our focus in our time of fellowship and worship, and remembering that today is about you, not about us. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand.
Service, and I think you guys know that. It's where we have that opportunity to pray for those that don't know Jesus. And if you're not doing so yet, I really want to encourage you. There are little cards available out there that you can write down three people's names in your life that don't know Jesus. And they pray for them each and every day. But every Sunday we set aside time during service just to lift them up by name, because we know that is Jesus that transforms lives, not us. With that being said, I want us to do a little extra special prayer today. Today, we have seniors all around our community from multiple schools walking across the stage for their last time. Pray for their families, but also pray for them. Pray that they may come to know who Jesus is as they step out into the rest of their lives. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, we just lift up all the people in our lives that we know that don't know you. Father, we know there is many walking around this world with no understanding of the love that you have for them, the desire you have for a relationship with them. Lord, I ask that you work inside of their hearts and their minds. Father, at this time, we especially want to lift up our seniors, those graduating and walking across the stage today. Fathers, they prepare to step in to the real world. Lord, I ask that you give them peace, that you give them comfort. Father, I ask that you do a new work in them and that they may search you for their peace and comfort and not the world. Lord, may you guide them through each step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just continue to worship.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I hide from your presence, God? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. Yeah, you are there. Lord, when I'm lost in the darkness, when I arise with the breaking dawn, I put my hope in the promise that you are there. Yeah, you are there.
You are the God of this place. Where I stand, heaven invades. Every worry, every trouble that I face today, you're the anchor, you're the rock that will always stay. You are the God, the God of this place.
You're in control every moment, faithful to never leave my side. Lord, there is peace in the knowing that you are there. Yeah, you are there.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And over every heart and every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your
Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Father, we just come before you this morning and we just speak your name over every situation that we are going through, whether it's our health, our finances, Father. No matter what we are going through, we speak your name into that. Because you are the healer, the miracle worker, and you can do all things. So we give it all to you, Father, this morning. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Let's see. There we are. Well, good morning, church. So there's one thing before I want to welcome everybody this morning. But there's something I want to point out real quick before we get going with everything is let's give it up for Ron Sauer and his birthday today. He thought he slipped out of it. You're welcome, buddy. Well, good morning, and I want to welcome everybody that's here this morning. I want to welcome our guests that made it here, and also want to welcome those joining us online on the radio. We are thankful for each and every one of you. But before we take the time to dive into God's Word this morning, let's first go to Him in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the example you gave us in your Son Jesus and what he was willing to do up on that cross. Father, I ask that this morning you open up each one of our hearts and minds and anything that we're holding on to, Lord, that we just give it to you. Lord, that we learn to trust in your Spirit, that we learn to trust in your goodness in each step of the way. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, this week we're back in the Life of Christ series that we've been in for a while after taking a pause last week for Mother's Day. And we're going to be over in Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 12 for anyone who wants to follow along. You know, the last time we were in this series, we saw Jesus being invited to a meal with the Pharisees and the religious teachers of the day. It was in that meal that we saw the Pharisees getting upset with Jesus for not taking the time to ceremonially wash his hands before they ate that meal. And it was inside that moment that they started going after Jesus for it. And it was also inside that moment that we saw Jesus firing back on the Pharisees and calling them out for their hypocrisy. You see, the Pharisees were so concerned about how they appeared to others. They were so concerned about how the world sees them that they forgot about their relationship with God and what was truly important. They forgot it's about what's on the inside and not on the outside that really matters. Instead, they created all these lists of rules, all these things that they were expected to follow, and they forced others to do the same thing. They believed by following these rules and expectations that they would somehow appear more holy than the world around them. The problem was that all of these rules and everything else had nothing to do with salvation. It had nothing to do with gaining a better relationship with God. All it did was elevate themselves and make themselves look better to the world around them. And Jesus understood this to the point that he called them out for it. He called them out for leading people astray. He called them out for creating a hindrance for people from actually growing in knowledge of who God is. And they were helping nobody but themselves. Well, as you can imagine, none of this sat well with the Pharisees or the teachers of the law that were sitting there. In fact, at the very end of the passage, it talks about how they started to try to figure out how they could set a trap for Jesus so they could get rid of him. And that's where our passage picks up this morning. This morning, the title of the message is Fearless Faith. It's inside this passage that we see Jesus addressing his disciples about the dangers of hypocrisy. The same hypocrisy that he just called the Pharisees out last time we were together. It's also in this passage that we see him talking about the dangers of fearing man over God, about putting our trust in the world instead of God. And we see him encouraging his disciples to acknowledge him boldly to the world around them, to trust God in all things, to trust God to take care of them, to allow God to be the ultimate authority inside of their life. So let's open our Bibles this morning and dive into this passage. And it tells us in the very first verse, it tells us in Luke 12, verse 1, "Meanwhile, a crowd of many thousands came together so that they were trampling on one another. And he began to say to his disciples first, 'Be on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisee, which is hypocrisy.'" What a picture this paints right from the beginning. Jesus went from having a small dinner with the Pharisees and those who hated him to having a large crowd trying to search him out, trying to figure out where Jesus is. From having a few around him to having thousands pushing and shoving, trying to get to Jesus. And of course, by this point in Jesus' ministry, this was nothing new. Jesus had spoken to many large crowds at this point. People had come from far and wide often to find him. Jesus was extremely well known. He was known for his miracles. He was known for his teachings. Often when people came searching for Jesus, they would bring their sick, they would bring their lame, their blind, any types of different ailments, and they would bring them to Jesus in hopes that he would heal them. But there's a side of this that we often don't think about. Just as Jesus was becoming popular, so were his disciples. People began to know who his disciples were. They began to recognize them as men who traveled with Jesus, and people began to associate them with Jesus. Now, it's not a bad thing when people start associating you with Jesus, as long as you're representing him well. It's not a bad thing. But I do believe there's a reason that Jesus addressed them first in this passage as a reminder of what can happen if they're not careful. When he said, "Be on guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." There's a couple things I want to point out in this passage. The word leaven is something that we don't use much inside of our culture, and I'm assuming that some of you may not even know what it means, but basically it's like yeast, another word. It only takes a little bit of yeast to affect the rest of the dough when you're baking, doesn't it? The second word I want to point out to you is hypocrisy. You could also say hypocrite inside of that. The word hypocrite comes from a Greek word meaning actor. You know, someone who plays a part, someone who pretends to be something they are not. And we can find hypocrites in every walk of life, every profession, every place in society. It really doesn't matter. We can find a hypocrite somewhere, sometimes looking in ourselves. And these people who often find themselves there is they're trying really hard to impress others in order to hide who they truly are. And this may come to a shocker to some of you, and for others, you'll be more than aware, we can even find hypocrites inside of church. They come in every form. Often someone who's a hypocrite in the church is someone who tries to appear more spiritual or more holy than what they really are, than what he or she is. And the thing is, often people who do this, who find themselves in this category, are aware that they're pretending. They're very aware of their shortcomings. They're very aware of their problems in life, and they're just hoping that no one ever finds out. So they masquerade around as this extra holy person, trying to do everything they can to keep people from looking deeper within their own lives. Typically, they're scared that if they're found out, they will be rejected and looked down on. And so they continue to pretend. And it's here inside of this passage that we see Jesus warning his disciples not to become hypocrites. And if we're not careful, though, this is something that we too can easily fall into. It really doesn't take much, does it? You know, if we do something or something well and we start to receive accolades for it and people start patting us on the back, we may even start to gain some popularity with people around us for it. And if we're not careful, we can let that get to us to the point that we start worrying because we feel like we're put up on this pedestal and we're scared we're going to be knocked off. And we start to operate on side of that basis. We start worrying more and more about what others think than what God thinks. Something that we have to all be careful about. And I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, it's something I have to be very cautious on. Am I here to serve God or am I here to please man? What choice do I have to make? And if we're not careful, we can start operating in that basis. And as our popularity grows, so does our ego. It's like yeast in dough. It puffs it up, right? And as pride starts to take over a person, the person's character quickly deteriorates, where the person does more and more to keep themselves elevated, even if it's not who they are. There's a reason that Proverbs tells us that pride comes before the fall. If we want to keep hypocrisy out of our life, we have to avoid that first bit of leaven, that first bit that puffs us up. Because once we start pretending that we're something we're not, the process goes quicker, and the longer we wait to correct it, the worse it gets. Sir Walter Scott wrote, "What a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive." We know this to be true. The web of lies that people spin to make themselves look better, that is hypocrisy. And then in verse 2, Jesus continues to warn his disciples about this, and he states, "There is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, nothing hidden that won't be made known." You see, it doesn't matter how good of a web you spin, it doesn't matter how much you put into it, and how hard you try to cover things up, how hard you try to cover up life's mistakes and failures. At some point, it's all going to come out. Because Jesus is warning them that it's not possible to keep it hidden forever. That there will be a time when God will bring the secrets into open, where your true self will be exposed. And Jesus takes it a step further and says in verse 3, "Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in an ear in a private room will be proclaimed at the housetops." Now, I want to point something out on the historical side. At that time in history, there's something that we really need to understand, something Jesus is referring to in this passage. You see, the Pharisees often came together and plotted in secret meetings on what they would demand from the people, what the new rules and regulations and everything that they would have to do, and what new rules they would put in place to make themselves look better, to prop up their ego even higher. On top of that, inside of these meetings, they would work on how they could gain prominence and followers for themselves. Not for God, but for themselves, to keep themselves on that pedestal. They had secret council meetings where they would come together to judge other people, to speak badly about those around them. And they tried to do all of this in secret. It was gossiping. That's what they were doing. They were gossiping, something that we're told not to do. You know, so often when we gossip, why do we do it? To try to make us look better, right? To tear someone else down. We're like, "Hey, don't tell anyone, but I heard." Does that build someone up or does that tear someone down? Does that build yourself up or does that tear others down? And Jesus is reminding his disciples that God knows everything. That he knows the heart of the people. He knows why you're saying it and why you're doing it. And he's saying in this moment, at the final judgment, if not before, everything will be uncovered. Everything will come to light. Where your heart is, what you're saying, what you're doing. And he's telling them, don't be a hypocrite. Be faithful to who God has called you to be. Even in your imperfections, take those to God and allow him to transform you from the inside out. We're not called to please man. We're called to please God. And one of the reasons that we can often fall into this hypocrisy, though, is because of this fear of man over our fear of God. And it becomes this snare inside of our lives. It tells us in verse 4, I say to you, my friends, don't fear those who kill the body and after that can do nothing more. You know, we have this natural human tendency to want to cling to peace and comfort. We don't like to stir the pot, do we? Some people may, but most of the time we don't like to stir the pot, do we? Because we like that peace, we like that comfort in our lives. But our desire to want to cling to that peace and comfort in our lives at times actually costs us with our walk with God. See, so often when we do that, we do it because we don't know, we don't do what we should be doing. Because we're scared we're going to stir the pot. We don't stand up when we should stand up. We're quiet when we should be shouting from the mountaintops. We're so concerned about what the world often thinks about us that we forget to be concerned with what God thinks about us. We allow fear of being ostracized. We allow fear of being canceled to keep us from taking that bold step for Jesus and living the life that we know we're called to live, to live a life of this fearless faith that God has called us to. Remembering that this life is nothing more than a fleeting moment when it comes to eternity. That there's only so much that the world can do to us. You know, the world may be able to destroy the body, but there's another aspect that we need to truly fear. Jesus reminds us in verse 5, and he says, but I will show you the one to fear. Fear him who has authority to throw people into hell after death. Yes, I say to you, this is the one to fear. What Jesus is trying to say inside of this statement is that life here on earth is not what's truly important. Instead, where our focus should be is eternity. Because anything here on earth that has any power is limited to here. The one who has power to determine our eternal destination deserves our focus. God alone has that authority over our eternity. We are called to fear God and ignore everything else. Because when we come into relationship with God, then we actually no longer have to fear him. Because we know that he cares for us, that he watches over us. In fact, Jesus tells us in verse 6 and 7, he says, aren't 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten in God's sight. Indeed, the hairs of your head are all counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus is making a comparison for us. And at that time in history, a sparrow was one of the cheapest sources of living food that you could buy in the market. Yet God does not forget a single one of them. And though as a follower of Christ, we should fear God because of his awesome power, but we also know we don't have to be afraid of him. Because we are more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows. We are created in his image. I want you to think about that for a minute. Out of all of God's creation, God created us in his image. And he made you. He made no mistakes. He made none. He cares for us in such detail. Such detail that he knows every hair on your head. He even knows the hair that you have lost. He knows every detail about you. I want you to just hear me on this for a second. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you better than your worst day. He knows every aspect of it. And that's something to kind of be in awe of how much he knows and loves us. And he wants a relationship with us. You know, you may put on an act at times for the world. You may come out, the hypocrite may put on that act for the world. We may put on that act, but you don't need to act for God. He knows who you are on even your worst day. From the inside out, and he still loves you. He cherishes you and wants a relationship with you. And because of this, we can have fearless faith in him. One where we don't have to be afraid. We can have faith that God will provide for us, that he will make a way for us, that no matter what the world throws at us, if we have invited him into our lives, he will transform us from the inside out, and we can find security and rest in him. Remembering that we are called to live for him and not for this world. Jesus continued in verse 8 and tells us how we can have a fearless faith, how we can have that assurance of salvation that we can quickly question even at times. It tells us in verse 8, "And I say to you, anyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God." You know, each and every one of us have a choice that we have to make in our lives. Do we profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, or do we not? You know, when we profess Jesus, when we declare him as the Messiah, when we're willing to do that, even in the face of persecution, even when the world tells us to be quiet, the Bible tells us that he will acknowledge us in front of our Heavenly Father. And our eternal salvation is secured. And that we can have assurance of where we're going and where we're going to spend eternity, because there's no other name under heaven in which we are saved. There's no other name that our sins are forgiven, and there is no other name that restores us to our Heavenly Father. But Jesus also gave us a warning. He warns us in verse 9 that if we reject him, that whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. If we deny Jesus, if we turn our back on him and are more concerned with things of this world, if we're more worried about what the world thinks than what God thinks, if we're more concerned with the human perspective than about God, we are told that he will deny us before our Heavenly Father. There's a choice that each and every one of us have to make at some point in our lives. This is an uncomfortable truth that we can wrestle with, but it's a truth that we have to make a decision. Are we more concerned what God thinks or what the world thinks? Now, I do want you to know, though, if this is something you've wrestled with in your past, or maybe even today, maybe there's a time that you've rejected Jesus. Maybe you're still rejecting Jesus today. If you've rejected him, I want you to know there's still hope. Jesus actually tells us in verse 10, "Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." This is two parts in this passage. The first part reminds us that even if we've rejected Jesus in our past, we can still be forgiven. Even if you've lived a life away from Jesus in your past, I want you to know that God still loves you, cherishes you, and wants that relationship with you, and you can still be forgiven, and we can have peace about it because of that. If it wasn't, I couldn't be standing here in front of you today. I have lived that life away from Jesus. I've rejected Jesus in my past, just like many of you have, and God still uses me. When I turn to him, I know my sins are forgiven, and I don't have to worry about it. Can we praise God for that this morning, that we have a God who loves us that much, that he's willing, no matter our failures, to still forgive us and love us? You know, often when someone rejects Jesus, at least in the beginning, it's out of ignorance and fear of mankind. It's often out of a misunderstanding of who Jesus is and how he's been presented. You know, Jesus' own disciples did not fully understand who Jesus was and what he came to do on the cross when Jesus was standing right in front of them. And if there's hope for them, there's hope for us as well. You know, it's never too late to turn to Jesus. It is never too late to allow him to come in and transform you from the inside out. And we can have peace about that, no matter what you've done. But that second part of the passage, that second part is one that often becomes difficult for us as Christians to wrestle with. And Jesus is outlining the unforgivable sin. And it says, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. This is a verse and a passage that many sincere believers have wrestled with for a long time. Some of you even this morning may have read this before and have had concerns in your own. Did I do that? Is there any chance I could have done that? You know, it's the one and only sin that is listed throughout the scripture as unforgivable. But I want you guys to listen very carefully to me on this verse. The unforgivable sin is the ongoing and deliberate rejection of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. You see, we have to remember it's the Holy Spirit that calls us to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of our sin. This is why we do my three. That is why in our prayers, when we're praying for people who don't know Jesus, that the Spirit would do a new work in them, that he would soften their hearts, that he would call them to Christ, right? That's what we're praying for every day. That people would listen to the Holy Spirit in their lives. You know, the person who has actually committed this sin has completely shut themselves off from God to the point that they're not even aware of sin at all. It's going to the grave without accepting the free gift of salvation that is found in Christ Jesus. That's the unforgivable. And I want to give you some assurance this morning, if you have wrestled with this in the past, that you may have somehow unintentionally committed this sin, you haven't. The very fact that you are wrestling with it and that your desire is to serve God, you should have peace inside of that. Because you've placed your hope and faith in Jesus. So you can have fearless faith in Christ. You can have assurance of your salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. You can have assurance that you will walk, that he will walk with you throughout your life. You can have assurance that he will guide you no matter what you face. You can have assurance that no matter what trouble this world throws at you, he will be with you. And you can have a fearless faith no matter what you face. In fact, Jesus tells his disciples in verses 11 and 12, he says, whenever they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what must be said. You know, Jesus has never promised us an easy life when we follow him. We've never been promised an easy life this side of heaven. In fact, he told us that we're going to be hated because of him. We're told that we're going to be persecuted because of him. And inside of this passage, if you notice, it even says, whenever you're brought in front of the synagogues, the rulers and authorities, did you notice it said, whenever, not if? He's saying it's going to happen, not if it happens. But if we're in Christ, we don't have to worry in that moment. We don't need to worry about what we're going to say. We don't need to worry about how we're going to defend ourselves. That instead, we can trust that the Holy Spirit will give us what we need inside of that moment. And throughout human history, whenever Christians have faced persecution, God has never let them down. He's always given them the strength they needed for whatever the world throws in their way. We've seen it throughout church history. Starting in Acts, when the disciples are arrested for preaching the good news of Jesus, all the way through today where our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing persecution around the world. I don't know how many of you guys got the text message that went out this week, but we have our missionaries over in the Middle East currently. Two of their own were just taken and jailed for being out there sharing the good news of Jesus. It is happening around us still to this very day. And we don't know their status at this time. But we know they were bold for Christ's sake. And we trust that the Holy Spirit is with them, guiding them, and giving them the wisdom and strength they need inside of this moment. As they spent already over a week in jail with no contact. We have brothers and sisters who have refused to deny Christ even to death, where they have walked out their faith fearlessly, remembering the words of Jesus and finding strength in him. my prayer for each and every one of us, we are so blessed to live where we live. But my prayer is if we ever face that kind of persecution, that we would stand firm on the words of Jesus, remembering that we are never alone inside of that. My question for you this morning is, are you living boldly for Jesus? Or are you living in hypocrisy? Are you more worried about what the world thinks than what God thinks? Or are you boldly living for Christ no matter what the world throws at you? I want to encourage you this morning, live boldly for Christ. Don't worry about the world. Don't worry about what the world can do to you. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about what the boss can do. Instead, set your eyes on Jesus, the one who saves you for eternity. Remembering that this life is but a fleeting moment. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we ask for strength. We ask for wisdom, and we ask for guidance. Father, we pray that we can walk boldly for the name of Jesus to the world around us. Father, that we proclaim your name from the rooftops. Father, that we do it through our actions and through our words. And Lord, that we are an example to everyone around us on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Lord, I ask that anything that we're pretending on, that we throw that to the side and we just come to you and we ask that you transform us from the inside out. And Lord, that we trust you through it all. We're knowing that you love us so much and you know us better than we know ourselves. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Was blind, but now I
Are gone. We go to Jesus. We have nothing left to fear, and our old life is gone, and we're made new. God bless, guys. Have a wonderful week, and keep our graduates in prayer.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.